Okay, well, let's turn in our Bibles this morning. Psalm 119, once again. As you know, we've been going through the book of Psalms now, taking a psalm each week, and we come to this 119th psalm, and we're breaking it up into sections. This is the longest psalm, and so we're studying it stanza by stanza. And this morning, we're going to continue our study in Psalm 119. The human brain, contrary to popular belief, everybody does have one. Okay, but the human brain is a 1.3 kg mass of tissue that has about 100 billion nerve cells called neurons, and it serves basically as the control center for the whole body. Now, we could spend hours talking about the functions of the brain, but one of the most amazing things about the brain is its ability to store memories, its ability to remember things. Scientists have identified for us that there are basically three types of memories. There is what they call episodic memories. This is where we remember specific episodes, specific events that have taken place in our life, episodic memories. And then there are what is called semantic memory. This is remembering the things, the facts that we have learned. We cram for the exams, you know, and we put all that stuff into the file cabinets of our mind, and that is what is called semantic memory, the memory of things that we studied, the memory of things that we have learned. And then there is also what is called procedural memory. Procedural memory is remembering the steps on how to do something, like how to tie your shoelaces, or how to perform certain functions in your workplace. These are called procedural memories. But all three of these different types of memories are actively working in our brains every minute of every day throughout all of our life. Now, that's an amazing thing if you stop and think about it. It is said the human brain can store as many as 600 memories per second. Wow. 600 memories per second can be stored by the brain, and barring any injury or barring any disease, it can do so for your entire lifetime. And so therefore, if you live to be 75 years of age, your brain may have filed away more than 1.4 trillion memories. 1.4 trillion memories. All of these memories that are stored in our brains, all of them are basically divided into two main files. There's what we call the good memories, and there's what we call bad memories. Right? Now, all of them will fit in one of those two files. And when we're faced with difficult situations in our lives, we will continually draw from those files. If you continually draw from the file of bad memories, the problem with that is you soon become very pessimistic. You understand what a pessimist is, right? A pessimist is a guy who wears a belt and he wears suspenders at the same time. He's sure he's going to have something fall off, okay? He's pessimistic. Always looks on the negative side. If we constantly draw from the file of bad memories, that's what happens. We become very pessimistic, and usually that leads to a life that is filled with all kinds of discouragements, all kinds of depression, always looking on the gloomy side of everything, drawing from the file of bad memories. Or there are those who always will draw from the file of good memories, and they tend to be optimistic. They're cheerful no matter what's going on around them. Those are the kind of people that are annoying to the rest of us who are normal. They wake up in the morning singing. What is wrong with them, you know? But they always draw from the good side, and all they can see is the positive, the positive, the positive. Now, naturally, there needs to be a balance, right? There needs to be a balance. But the reason I mention that is simply because David had learned the balance. David had learned the balance. As we go through the stanza we're going to be looking at today, we're going to see four common difficulties. Four common difficulties that David faced in his life. And I call them common difficulties because they're the same difficulties that you and I face even today. And as we look at these things together, we're going to see that David chose to remember some things. When he was faced with these difficulties in his life, he remembered to remember. He remembered to remember some things that would help him to avoid the spiritual depression, the spiritual discouragement that so many experience, and yet on the other hand, that he would not go into these things in a happy-go-lucky, whatever kind of attitude of the overly optimistic. He wanted to be balanced as he went into his life. And so there were some things he remembered to remember. And so I want us to begin this morning by, in verse number 49, we find the first difficulty that David is going to mention is the difficulty of affliction. The difficulty of affliction. Affliction is no respecter of persons. The fact is, all men are going to go through periods of sickness. Right? All men are going to go through periods of trouble. In fact, the truth was very clearly expressed by Job in Job chapter 14 in verse 1 when he said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and they're full of trouble." Few days, full of trouble. But how do we respond to those times of affliction that come? Well, there are some who complain. There are some who complain. A friend of mine, missionary in Japan, he's always sending out these Christian jokes and Christian humor kind of a thing. The other day he sent out a list of some things, of humorous quotes, and one of them just seemed to fit right into this point. He said, "Some people won't suffer in silence because that would take all the pleasure out of it." And there are folks that are like that, right? There are some who all they do is complain. And then there are some who agonize. They're just constantly worrying and fretting and wringing the hands. But here's the point I want you to get. Even David, who was a man after God's own heart, faced those trying times of affliction in his life. Notice two things with me that we see in our text. First of all, David's request. Verse number 49, the Bible says, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." If you look at that verse very carefully, you'll find that what David is actually making here is a very bold request. He's making a very bold request. You see, David was actually telling God. He's telling God not to forget his great and precious promises which he had given to David. He's telling the Lord, "Do not forget those promises upon which I have built my faith." and upon which I have built my hope. That was his request. Then notice his reason. His reason in verse number 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. See, David had found that it was the Word of God that had saved his soul. It was the Word of God that gave him the power to live for God. And it was also the Word of God that would be able to comfort and encourage and cheer him during his time of affliction. The Apostle Paul learned that same truth, did he not? Paul certainly faced many afflictions. Now, you can read about them. He lists them for us in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 to verse 27. He talks about how that he's been abused and how he's been in dangerous places and how he's suffered beatings and how he's suffered shipwreck and all the things that he endured for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Certainly, Paul knew what it was to face afflictions, and yet, instead of becoming depressed about it, instead of becoming discouraged about it, or filled with self-pity about it, the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4:17. Listen to what he said. For our light affliction. In other words, Paul said, it's no big deal. Paul, you've been beaten with stripes. No big deal. Light affliction. Paul, you've been hated and spoken of in a very derogatory way. Light affliction. No big deal. Paul, people are slandering you and saying things about you that are not true. No big deal. Light affliction. How could he say that? Here's the reason. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I have good news for you. No matter what trial, no matter what difficulty, no matter what affliction you're going through right now, there's some words in the Bible that will bring comfort to you. Those words are, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. It's temporary. That's what Paul's talking about. Paul says it's a light affliction. It's no big deal. Why? Well, because it's not permanent. It's only a temporary thing. It's only going to last for a moment. But then notice this. This light affliction, which is only for a moment, but notice the result of it. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, the more that we are privileged to suffer for Christ. Now, you heard me right. Privileged to suffer. The more we are privileged to suffer for Christ down here, the more we shall be eternally rewarded when we stand before God. You see, Paul had discovered that remember the promises of God. Remembering to remember the promises of God's Word during those days of trouble, during those days of affliction, produced a confidence and a joy that outweighed the negative circumstances that he was facing in his life. That's why in Acts chapter 16, you remember we saw it some weeks ago. That's why in Acts 16, Paul and Silas, locked up in a Philippian prison, beaten unjustly, and yet in the midst, in the midnight hour, they were able to do what? Sing songs of praise. Sing songs of rejoice. Sing songs of rejoice because they remembered to remember the promises of God in the midst of their afflictions. That's what David's talking about here in our text. During times of affliction, David remembered to remember the Word of God, and it was there in the Word of God that he found the comfort and the strength that he needed, as once again he leaned afresh and anew on the promises of God. Second thing I wanted to notice in this text, and that is this. There is the problem, the difficulty of scorn. Scorn. Every true believer who desires to live for God and to serve Him wholeheartedly like David did is going to suffer scornful persecutions. People are going to laugh at you. They're going to mock you. They're going to scorn you. And again, that should not come as a surprise to us. The Apostle Paul made it very clear in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It goes with territory. Just mark it down. Many times people will say, well, you know, I've been saved for many, many years, and I've never suffered any kind of persecution. Well, I want you to look at the verse again. Paul did not say every Christian would suffer persecution. He said all that live in Christ Jesus. You can be saved and not live godly. Fact is, you can be saved and live just like the world. Shame on you. But you can't do that. But those who live godly in Christ Jesus, those who determine that they're going to walk in God's way and they're going to follow God's word and they're going to make God the priority in their life, they're going to face times of scornful persecution. That's what David is talking about in our text. That's what David is speaking of. Notice he speaks first of all of his condition. Letter A, David's condition. Verse number 51. The proud have had me in great, have had me greatly in derision. The proud have had me greatly in derision. Many times in David's life, proud men, wicked men, had taunted him, mocked him, ridiculed him because of his faith in God and because of his devotion to serving God. That was the condition David found himself in. But then notice we see David's faithfulness in verse 51. The proud have had me greatly in derision, therefore I quit carrying my Bible openly and I don't go to church anymore and I've given up on prayer. And no, that's not what he said. No, he said, yet have I not declined. I didn't do it. Okay, we're good. Boy, that'll... Now, where was I? David's faithfulness. He says, I've suffered greatly in derision, and yet I have not declined from thy law. In other words, no matter what other people thought, no matter what other people said, David's heart was fixed. His heart was fixed. He's going to follow God's word. So many times we bow down at the altar of public opinion, don't we? So many times I fear that we are far more concerned about what other people say and what other people think about us than we are about what our Heavenly Father thinks of us. What does God think of what I'm doing? What does God think of how I'm acting? What does God think of how I'm living my life? What is God's... Forget what other people say. They're not your judge. And therefore, our number one priority ought to be, what does God think about this? David was determined that no matter what other people thought, he was going to do right. No matter what was popular, he was going to go God's way. No matter what other people said, he was going to follow the Word of God in his life. And he was able to do that because, let her see, David's comfort. Verse number 52. I remembered thy judgments of old. In other words, David looked back and he saw how God had worked in the past. He saw how God had judged people, how God had judged nations in years gone by. He said, I remember thy judgments of old. Comforted myself. Many times people ask me, I say, Pastor, why did God put so much history in the Bible? And it's all Jewish history. We're not even Jews. We don't live in Israel. What's the point? What God put all those stories in there for? What's the purpose of it? How can that Jewish history, a history that happened thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, how can that ever be relevant to my life in 2012? Well, the question is answered very clearly by the Apostle Paul. Listen to what he said in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. He said, whatsoever things were written aforetime. Did you get that? Things that were written aforetime, way back yonder, okay, were written, here's the answer, for our boredom. No, it's for our learning. Those things that were written way back then, they're written with a purpose. They're written to teach you something. Teach me something. Why? Notice it. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. That's exactly what David found to be true. That's exactly what David is testifying to here in our text. David found that when his enemies ridiculed him, he was able to comfort himself by looking into God's Word and noting the absolute faithfulness of God in protecting His people, in dealing with the enemies of His people, in glorifying Himself, in keeping all of His promises. David saw all of that and he said, I find comfort there. I hope there. That's why God has given us all of that history, so we can see how God has worked in the past. And because He is the faithful God who never changes, then we can be comforted to know that the same way He worked back then for His people in Israel, He'll work today for you and for me. Now, if that doesn't comfort your heart this morning, there's something wrong with your heart. What a blessing it is to know that. And so David was faced He was faced with enemies, but when those enemies came along who scorned and mocked and ridiculed him because of his faith, he simply remembered. He remembered instead of focusing on what others were saying, focusing on what others were doing, he focused on the Word of God. And there he found comfort in all the testimonies that are recorded in the Scriptures of God's absolute faithfulness. This third thing David is going to talk about, horror. Not talking about horror movies, okay? But horror. In Ezra chapter 9 and verse number 6, the kind of horror that I'm speaking of is identified for us. In Ezra 9, 6, the man of God is praying and he said, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto heaven." Have you ever just sort of felt overwhelmed by the wickedness that surrounds us today? Just like an overwhelming tide. You just feel like you're being flooded over and washed away by just the filth and the wickedness that is prevalent in our world. Man of God, even among his own people, said, "Lord, I blush. I'm ashamed to even lift my face and look to you." That's sort of the same idea David has in mind when he writes here in verse 53 of our text. He said, Horror hath taken hold on me. Because, here's the reason why he's horrified. It's because of the wicked that forsake thy law. In other words, he's not horrified by what's going on in his life, but he's horrified by what he sees going on around him. Sad thing is I fear today that most Christians are not horrified by the wickedness of the world. Rather, we are enchanted by it. We've grown accustomed to it. We're comfortable with it. And we're not horrified by the wickedness that surrounds us. That's a sad commentary on us. That's a sad commentary on us. But for those who truly love God, there is a huge danger. And here's the danger. Jesus mentioned it over in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, when he said these words. He said, "Because iniquity shall abound." It's growing, it's spreading, it's reaching into every area of society. It's just rampant. There's wickedness everywhere. You can't hardly walk down the street or watch TV or surf the internet without being, you know, constantly aware that there's a danger there. Iniquity abounds. But here's the danger for those who truly love God. "Because iniquity shall abound," Jesus said this, "the love of many is going to grow cold." The love of many shall wax cold. Because of the wickedness of the wicked who are around us, because it seems that they are prospering in their wickedness. It seems that they are experiencing God's blessings in their wickedness, while those who are trying to do right are facing nothing but trouble. And so many believers may begin to feel their love for God begin to grow cold. And they begin to experience depression and despair because of this wicked world in which they find themselves. But David avoided that. He was horrified by what was going on around him, but he did not fall into the trap of allowing his love for God to grow cold. David avoided it. He comforted himself by maintaining a twofold focus. First of all, he maintained, letter A, he maintained the focus of his heart. The focus of his heart. Verse number 54, notice what he says. Thy statutes have been my songs. In other words, instead of singing the sad songs of the depressed who are totally controlled by the circumstances that surround them, David chose to focus his heart on the Word of God. And he sang the promises of God. He sang the Scripture songs. He sang songs that would exalt and magnify and glorify the Lord. This is the same thing we saw before. You remember back in Psalm 59, we saw it a year ago. Psalm 59, 16, he said, "But I will sing." What are you going to sing about, David? Here's what I'm going to sing. He said, "I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of trouble." David focused his heart. He focused his heart on singing the praises of God's power, the praises of God's mercies, not focusing on the wickedness that was around him, but lifting his eyes up from all of that to focus on God. Because his heart was focused on God's Word, then the second point was automatic. He was able to focus his priorities. See, the reason why most Christians have their priorities all out of whack is because their heart isn't focused. If your heart is not properly focused, then you're not going to be able to have the right priorities in your life. If your heart is focused on the things of the world, then guess what? You're going to have worldly priorities in your life. But if you focus your heart on the things of God, then you're going to have priorities that match up with God's priorities. Doesn't that make sense? Sure. The focus of his priorities, notice it. Thy statutes have been my song, verse 54. In the house of my pilgrimage. Did you catch the key word there? In the house of my pilgrimage. My pilgrimage. You see, David understood this world, it's not my home. This world is not my home. He's merely a pilgrim who is passing through this world on his way to a place that is far better. In other words, David here is identifying himself with Abraham, of whom the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 and verse number 10. It says concerning Abraham that by faith he sojourned Same idea. He pilgrimed. He sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. Notice verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder, whose maker is God. When we are about to be overcome by the horrors of this wicked world in which we live, may I suggest to you this morning that we refocus our hearts, that we get our eyes off of the filth that surrounds us and get our eyes on the one who loved and saved us. That we refocus our hearts to look upon our Lord and to sing of His mighty power and to sing of His mighty mercies and to sing of His great faithfulness to us. And then as we focus our hearts on Him, then we will be able to properly refocus our priorities. Remember to maintain the attitude of a pilgrim. Remember that this world is not your home. Do not allow your life to become so rooted in the things of this world that when the rapture comes, instead of simply taking you out, the Lord will have to dig you up. Be ready to go. Be ready to go. When the wickedness of the world becomes a horror to you, remember to properly focus your heart and to properly focus your priorities. There's a fourth thing David faced that he mentions here, and that is darkness. In verse number 55, David said, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night. In the night. If you do a study through the Bible, you'll find that the night always carries sort of a bad connotation. Always carries a bad connotation. You ever wondered why it is, as a parent, that the little child's fever seems to be worse at night? I come from Florida. We have these little things that blow through every now and then. They call them hurricanes. I'm always amazed. It's like the hurricane will be moving toward Florida and it gets within so many miles and then it'll stop and wait till nighttime. And then it'll hit. It's amazing how many hurricanes come through at night. Nighttime is something that is always filled with frightening, dangerous kinds of things. But in every nighttime that he faced in his life, David faithfully remembered to call on the name of the Lord. Did you notice it? I have remembered thy name, O Lord. When did you remember, David? In the night. In the night. Not only did David remember the name of the Lord, but notice this, verse 55 concludes by saying this, and have kept thy law. Many Christians foolishly have the idea that when the storms and when the trials and when the problems of the night begin to blow in their life, many Christians have the idea that they can simply call on God's name and that God will give to them the comfort and the help and that God will give to them whatever it is they need during that time of storm in their life. That's not necessarily so. David had that assurance because of the fact that he kept God's law. That's why David had assurance that when he was in those nighttime situations, he could call on the Lord to deliver him, and God would hear that. Because David had kept his law. David had walked in obedience to his word. You see, then he had the idea that God is nothing more than he's nothing more than a good genie. You have a problem, you just kind of rub it in the right way, and you get three wishes, you know. That's not the God of the Bible. It's not the God of the Bible. The fact of the matter is, many times it's in those night times that God allows us to get smacked on our back, because when we're flat on our back, God knows that's the only time we're going to look up. He has to put us down so we look up. And then He can begin to deal with us. You say, are you sure about that? Yeah. Because verse 56 concludes with these words. This I had. What are you talking about, David? What did you have? I had comfort. I had encouragement that came as a result of calling on the Lord God. This I had. I had the help I needed in the nighttime of my life. Why did you have it? Because I kept thy precepts. That's what I had. Perhaps there are some here this morning who are going through some rough waters. Going through some times of storm, going through times of difficulty, just like David, you're facing some trials, some difficulties in your life. Now this morning you're faced with a choice. You can either come apart at the seams, you can have a nervous breakdown. Like one fellow I heard about, he said, I'm going to have my nervous breakdown, I've worked hard for it, I deserve it, I'm going to have it. You can have a nervous breakdown, or you can remember to remember. You can remember to remember the Word of God and all of the wonderful promises that God has given to us. You can choose to remember the mighty acts of God, how He has proven Himself over and over and over, not just in history, but in our own lives, if we'll stop and think about it. He's proved His faithfulness over and over and over again. You can remember to have a proper focus in our heart. And proper focus in our priorities. And we can remember to call upon the name of the Lord as we walk in obedience to His Word. So I guess bottom line, it's up to us, huh? It's up to us. May God help us to choose wisely. That when the storms and when the trials and when the testings of life come, instead of being overwhelmed, we will be able to ride on top of the waves to the place of victory that God has for us. Father, we thank You this morning.